This video was made in partnership with CuriosityStream. Humans are the current number one build in the meta, but they haven't always reigned supreme. In fact, at first they were one of the least powerful builds in the meta, and it took several buffs, refinements, and tweaks before the human became even remotely threatening within its home server of Africa. So today, we're going to break down all the different variations of the human build throughout the history of Outside and discuss their unique traits, stats, and abilities, with the hope of demonstrating why some of these skill tree choices worked, while others couldn't compete. The first players to unlock the human class were a group of African primate mains that switched from the knuckle-walking quadrupedal build to a bipedal one. It's important to note that at this point, they hadn't sacrificed their arboreal mobility perks yet, and relied heavily on their ability to climb to escape danger. The top tiers at the time were all large terrestrial mammal builds far too strong for Australopithecus to challenge them, so their only option was to avoid them. It might seem counterintuitive to switch to a bipedal build when your playstyle is centered around the arboreal zone, but the reason this was so crucial was because it freed up their hands to be able to carry items back to their tree. This was the first step towards refining the cooperative, loot-sharing playstyle that have made humans so dominant in the current meta. Now, you might be surprised to learn that the devs have nerfed humans in the past. The tree-dwelling strategy was seen as a cheap way to avoid dealing with other players, and so the devs decided to reduce the number and size of trees in the Africa server. This forced humans to ditch their arboreal strategy and spec into ground-based abilities. And for a while, humans got absolutely bodied by other players. Even with the ability to use items and create tools, the other builds in the region, like Sabertooths and Giant Hyenas, were far too strong for humans to deal with. They had to rely solely on the thieving skill to get by, but this disadvantage was slightly mitigated by their newfound ability to crack bone using tools, letting them scavenge for marrow after big cats had finished with a kill. Once humanity had scraped together enough evolution points by scavenging, they finally got to level up some of their stats and give themselves the ability to survive by hunting rather than scavenging. They spec'd into longer legs and less body hair, allowing them to finally unlock one of the human's most powerful signature abilities, sweating. Sweating allows the player to recharge their stamina even while moving, whereas other builds are forced to stop and use the pant ability to recharge stamina. They could justify putting all of their evolution points into mobility rather than power, because by this point they'd also leveled up their crafting enough to make spears, the staple best-in-slot two-handed weapon until the invention of gunpowder. A sustainable source of meat is worth a lot more XP than fruit or scavenged marrow. So much so that this let humans finally start leveling up their intelligence to a truly staggering level, promoting both cooperation and innovation. But once again, nerfs were on the way. Just before the Ice Age balance patch hit, a faction of the human player base migrated servers, establishing themselves in the Europe server. Most of the others stayed in Africa. The Ice Age patch hit, and it led to two very different changes in the two servers that the humans were playing on. In Europe, as you probably expect, the overworld temperature dropped and ice damage became a threat. The humans, as well as most of the other top players there, spec'd into bulkier builds that could survive the cold better. In short, the update didn't really affect them too badly. This group became known as the Neanderthal faction. The humans that remained in Africa, now known as the Sapiens faction, faced a much worse update. Ironically, during the Ice Age, Africa got hotter and drier. The large herbivores humans had such a good matchup against all left, and the human player base in Africa was reduced to the brink of extinction, with player counts below 10,000. They survived by leveling up their fishing skill, scavenging for shellfish and other low XP sources, as they too made their escape from Africa. When they finally escaped Africa, they were finally back in a server that they could thrive in, but they had competition. Neanderthals had the highest stats of any human build in history. They had bigger brains, more girthy bodies, stronger muscles, just undeniably a more viable build compared to Sapiens. So by this point, I'm guessing you're wondering, well, if Neanderthals were more powerful, why is it that eventually the Neanderthals lost the faction war to the Sapiens? It turns out that their physical superiority was actually their downfall. Neanderthals and sapiens had a very different hunting strategy when it comes to taking down large herbivores. Neanderthals had the strength to defeat them with melee combat, and had the defense and HP to be able to take a hit or two, even from some of the Ice Age's strongest herbivore builds. They were also fast enough to be able to close the distance between themselves and their targets. This all sounds awesome, but there's one key detail in this plan that you might have noticed. Since Neanderthals were fit enough to take on these herbivores face to face, they didn't have to invent ranged weapons. Sapiens, on the other hand, would get one shot if they tried to take on behemoths like mammoths or woolly rhinos in close combat. Thankfully, even though their brains weren't as big as Neanderthals, it was still more than enough for them to be able to use the aforementioned crafting skill to create the first ranged weapon, the atlatl. Atlatls are a relatively simple yet effective item that allows the user to launch spears over twice as far. This was critical for the survival of sapiens as it allowed them to match the DPS of the Neanderthal, but also stay out of range of a potentially devastating counterattack. Sapiens also tended to have bigger party sizes. Neanderthals were less social and tended to stick to small, tight-knit groups, while sapiens formed much larger communities that could control much larger territories. Eventually, even though Neanderthals were the better fighters, they were the ones failing to find enough XP to survive. And this is where their physical might became a huge detriment. The bigger you are, the more energy you need to survive. And so the Neanderthals' strong, powerful bodies eventually became unsustainable. Most of them were defeated in combat or starved, although a few did end up actually switching factions and joining with the Sapiens. But finally, after defeating their most dangerous opponent, humans were free to dominate the game as the new top tiers. They mastered several key advanced techniques such as agriculture, archery, and sailing, allowing them to push the meta far past what other builds ever thought possible. You'd think that they would all work together to rule the game, but unfortunately, many of them ended up engaging in PvP with each other. It kinda makes sense given that other players are hardly even a challenge, but nonetheless, infighting is their biggest weakness right now. Anyways, hopefully that gives you a better background on the history of the game's most overpowered build. Oh, by the way, I bet many of you noticed the incredible footage of ancient hominids that I used in this video. This footage is from a brand new documentary called Out of the Cradle, which was animated by Square Enix, the masterminds behind the Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest video games. It's available right now on CuriosityStream, a streaming service that has over 2,400 titles, including many of my personal all-time favorites, like Walking with Dinosaurs, Ice Age Giants, and of course, Out of the Cradle. The subscription is only $2.99 a month, but if you go to curiositystream.com/tearsu right now and use the promo code TearsU, you can get a whole month for free. So please, go check out of the Cradle. I can genuinely say that it's got some of the best animation of any prehistoric documentary I've seen. Anyways, thank you all so much for watching, and thanks especially to my patrons on Patreon. Until next time, good luck out there.